Amen. September 19th is what? The barbecue, the fall kickoff. Yeah, September 19th, and today is the 5th. That means it's only 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. And so next week, I wanted to give you a heads up. You're going to meet our new youth pastors, and that is Daniel and Emma Bell. And you're going to love these two. That's kind of a funny picture. They don't really look quite like that, but they are a lot of fun. Teresa and I had a chance to have some dinner with them and really were impressed. And so that's next week. You're going to get a chance to meet them. And after the service, there is going to be a meet and greet for students and parents. So that'll be after next week's service. So next week, yeah, Daniel and Emma Bell. Okay, so if they are watching online, which they may be, let's hear it for Daniel and Emma Bell. Yeah. Woo! Come on, you guys. Can't wait for them to get here. Yeah, yeah. And Pastor Tim this week, his son, Pastor Tim and Janice, their son Stephen has taken a new church up in Washington, and this is his first Sunday to speak. So they went up to support their son, so that's a great thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, got some things to talk about today, and we're in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to be talking today about living a life of purpose. Living a life of, and several months ago I was given the subject, the pit of laziness, that's what it was. And I decided, well, I'll mention the pit of laziness, but I don't want to stay in the pit of laziness, so I've turned it around to living a life of purpose. So here we go. The book of Proverbs, they give us different stereotypes. And while I'm up here, I am going to grab my glasses because I can. Okay. Yay. All right. The book of Proverbs gives us different stereotypes. And the two prominent characters are the wise and the simple. Okay? Wise and the simple. The wise, the Proverbs say, they accept commands of the Lord and they store up knowledge. So you kind of want to be that, right? You want to be the wise. You store up knowledge. It's a good thing. You accept what the Lord says. They're always learning and applying that knowledge for the good of others and themselves. Now the simple, they're not considered simple because of being simple-minded. That's not why they're considered simple in Proverbs, but because of their lack of moral character, okay? They're simpletons because they are deaf to wisdom, which you hear a lot in Proverbs, wisdom, the call of wisdom. They're deaf to that. They just won't listen. And the simple love being open to any opinion, but committed to none. And they're gullible and they're easily misled. Okay, so we don't want to be the simple, as described in the book of Proverbs. Then there are the fools. Okay, they are, let's just put it this way, the fools think that they're always right. Okay, do you ever think you're always right? Yeah, somebody next to you might say yes. But you're not a fool. Okay, here we go. And many of the fool's opinions, they fly in the face of values that restore humanity to the moral order. I'm going to say that again. Their opinions fly in the face of values that restore humanity to the moral order that God ordained. Now, their moral deficient character prompts their irrational behavior. It's a really good phrase. I'm going to say that again as well. Their moral deficient character prompts their irrational behavior. This is the fool, okay? Worse than fools are mockers. You find those in Proverbs. Those who are hardened apostates, and that means that they've left their faith in God, okay? They hate the wise, and they mock their wisdom. We see a lot of that today. They are beyond wisdom's call. Their spiritual problem is rooted in their boundless pride. So we don't want to be the mockers either. Now, this last one is what we're going to kind of start with. Because also worse than the fools are the sluggards. That's just a bad word, isn't it? Today, yeah, the sluggards. This word, sluggard, of course, comes from the word sluggish, okay? And that means heavy and slow. That's what sluggish means. And that's just what it is. Many Proverbs refer to the sluggards. I've got all kinds of them here that we're not going to go through. But there's at least 10 different places where sluggards are mentioned. And so we're going to read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. We're going to find out what this proverb has to say about sluggards. Okay. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at the harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Okay, a sluggard is unreliable, and they procrastinate. And because of this, it makes them constant sources of irritation to all the people that need to do business with them. Any of you who are in business, maybe you have your own business, people that procrastinate, people that are unreliable, it's hard to do business with these people, okay? And then later in chapter 24 of Proverbs, it says that they lose their family's heritage. And I love this next proverb because Solomon lays it on the line. Solomon, to me, is one of the most interesting characters in the Bible. Just interesting. I'll just put it that way. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. And here we go again. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. All right, so I'm a person that has learned, and I mean I've had to learn to focus on the positive, okay? Because naturally, I look at the negative. It's just the way it is. I'm one of those people that can see fault, okay? And for those of you that are like me, there's a use for us in this world because there are people that need to edit things, and so you can see the errors, okay? So I can edit. I can see things and see, oh, there's a mistake. Oh, there's a mistake. You know, there's a good time and a bad time for this kind of thinking. Yes. So, one thing I've learned, though, is that if I focus on the negative, it's not going to do me any good, and it's not going to do other people any good that I'm around, okay? And so I've worked hard at not focusing on the negative. I dip in once in a while, but I try not to. And when we take a look at these Proverbs in chapter 6 and 24, I think we can all agree that if we don't work hard and plan ahead, let me say that again. If we don't work hard and plan ahead, lifting up our eyes to see what needs to be done, then we're going to be in trouble. And our future is going to be in doubt. Because as the scripture says, if we fold our hands and rest and just live each day with no purpose in our lives, we're going to eventually be looking for handouts. And that's a bad place to be. Okay? Now, I can't let this subject pass without mentioning something that's been happening lately, as many of you know. And this is something I thought I would never see, and that is businesses can't get people to work. I never thought I would say, matter of fact, that never even crossed my mind that that would ever be a thing, that businesses can't get people to work, and so they can only open so many hours. And it's infuriating to me every time I drive by Fred Meyer Gas. I like getting my gas at Fred Meyer. It's closed most of the time. Now, I don't know all the reasons for that, but that's just an example. There's lots of businesses. They just don't have enough people to work. Lots of them have signs in their windows. Please have patience for us because we're short-staffed. You know what I'm saying? Say amen if you know what I'm saying. Yes, it's all over the place. Okay. Now, some of them are even paying people to come for job interviews. Like you get money to go to a job interview. Crazy upside down world. Now, part of this seems to be the result, I'm just saying, of our government handing out supposedly free money. Now, I know how it all started. I do. You know, pandemic, and a lot of people were hurting. And so if you're one of those people and you receive some of this money from the government, I hope that helped you out. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not that I can't see that. And if you're in that boat and you needed that money, okay, great, great. I get it. But now, see, here's what you have. People are used to getting money from the government, and so they don't want to work. And they expect a handout. Now, I don't think that they thought they would be in this place, but this is kind of what happens. This is human nature, okay? If you don't do anything about that, you start expecting a handout. And let me tell you something about getting used to expecting free handouts. You're going to eventually lose some integrity with some people if you consistently are this way. I'm not saying that people aren't in need sometimes. Please hear me. I'm not saying that. I have been in need in my life at times. But if this is a consistent thing and you're expecting a handout, you're going to lose some integrity. And it's also a place eventually where your self-worth is going to erode until you're at a place of hopelessness because you won't think you're worth anything. Because you're not accomplishing, you're expecting things all the time, and so you're going to lose your self-worth. But let's turn this around. Instead of a life of hopelessness, how can we live a life of purpose? A life where our feet are set on a course for good, where your life can mean something. A life where if you were taken from this earth, someone would actually notice, because a lot of people might think that this earth was a lot better off with you in it. Now, wouldn't that be the kind of life you'd want to live? Yeah, making a difference, okay? Proverbs 19:21 says this, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Okay, we're talking about living with a purpose. Now, living with a purpose is good, but it's really important that we live with the right purpose. Okay? I mean, we can think of all kinds of things to do with our lives, but there's the right purpose as believers in Christ. Can you say amen to that? Right purpose, yes. The Bible says here in Proverbs 19 that we can think of all kinds of things to plan and to achieve, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And if that's the case, what is the Lord's purpose for our lives? Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. So our purpose, there's a lot of things that come under this heading, but our purpose is to glorify God as believers. Our purpose is whatever we do is to glorify God. So what is the glory of God? Here's a definition. The glory of God is the invisible qualities, character, or attributes of God displayed in a visible or knowable way. And since God created man in his image, so you're created in God's image, man's purpose can't be fulfilled apart from God. You have to have God in order to have the right purpose. King Solomon, who was just unbelievable, the life that he lived. King Solomon tried living for his own pleasure, yet at the end of his life, what did he conclude? After all the things he did, he tried everything. One of the most intelligent people to ever live. And he tried it all. And at the end of his life, he concluded that the only worthwhile life is one of honor and obedience to God. Honor and obedience to God. Because, you know, when Adam and Eve, let's go all the way back, when they sinned, then that separated us from God, as many of you know. And it makes it impossible to glorify God on our own. We can't do it. But through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, our relationship with God is reconciled. So instead of being here and here, we're together. We're together. Our sin is forgiven and no longer creates a barrier. There's no longer a barrier. So we can do this. You can do this. You can glorify God in your life. And you might feel like, well, I haven't had much of a purpose in my life. And maybe you haven't. And maybe it's your fault. I don't know. But I can tell you this, from this moment on, you can do this. You can do this because of one reason, because of Jesus Christ and what he's done. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything that we do needs to be for the glory of God and giving him honor, okay? So when we talk or hear about God's glory, it kind of becomes this kind of this nebulous, hazy, unclear picture of a cloud or fire or smoke, which comes from the Bible at times. You know, we have the exodus of the children of Israel, and there was the pillar, the cloud by day and the fire by night, and somehow you could see the glory of the Lord, okay? And we talked about that the glory of the Lord is you see his attributes, you see his character, his power, okay? And the temple in Solomon's day, it was filled with smoke from the glory of God. So these are kind of spectacular things. So somehow his characters were portrayed in these images. But how about today? How about today? How is God's character or his attribute shown in our world today? So remember, we're created for the purpose of his glory and giving him glory. So I have seen God's glory lately, and you might think, wow, was it in a beautiful scene, maybe from up on this hill out over the valley where the sun comes through the clouds, through the smoke? I have seen that, and that is God's glory because it's beauty, and that's part of his character, you know, his creation. Yeah, I've seen that, but that's not what I'm talking about. And was it in a church service, you might think? Because sometimes, you know, we hear about church services where some spectacular thing happens where it's the glory of God. I was in a church service many years ago where in the spirit I saw kind of a cloud or a mist over the people. And that was the glory of God. But that's only happened to me once. So that's not what I'm talking about. You know, that's kind of ooh, out here somewhere. But I saw God's attributes and character displayed in three separate instances, and they all had to do with people. Two Fridays ago, after we had dinner and a show outside, clap if you were at dinner and a show. Yay, it was lots of fun, wasn't it? Yeah, we needed some fun. There was a lot of work to be done after dinner and a show, and been part of them for many, many years, and yeah, it's crazy when they're done because you have to put everything away. I mean, sound, lighting, kitchen, they got to get all that cleaned up. There's, props, there's everything to do with dinner and a show. We got to get it all, most of it, put away that night. So it's just a crazy time. As soon as about 8:30 hits, it goes into just all-out work mode and running. And sometimes I've had a lot of help, and sometimes I have not. But this time, I did. I had a lot of great help. And I'm just going to mention a few of the names because I so appreciated these people. I don't know how many are here. But Lee Shoup, Tim Olson, Greg and Jamie, Kenny Z, Joe Miller, Joe Branhog, Woody, those guys helped during the day mostly. These guys just busted it, and I was so appreciative of these guys. But there's one person that I noticed in particular, and she was there from the start of Teardown. I don't know if she's here today, but she had nothing to do with the show, but she had this wonderful spirit of not just helping, but, I mean, I was consistently kind of surprised. It was like every time I would need something, you know, moved here or some cable unwound or whatever it was, this person would say, okay, what can I do? Okay, I got that done. What can I do? Over and over. And she had nothing to do with anything. She just was there to help. And that was Sharon Mayhew. And it's kind of hard to describe, but it's like I kept having these pictures of like this person, what can I do? What can I do? And I thought about it later. I was like, wow. Sharon, are you here today? Yay? Nay? Okay. Not today. That's all right. She showed the spirit of a servant, you know, and that's what Jesus was. Jesus was a servant. So we're talking about the attributes of God and the character of God. And that's what Jesus was. And the Bible says that Jesus was the exact representation of God's nature. So if you want to know what God is like, you see what Jesus was like. Okay? And that's seeing the glory of God in somebody who's just living the life. Not on purpose. They're not trying to get any attention. It's just help because they're there to help. It was just awesome. And I have seen the glory of God repeatedly in a man that I see several times a week. And in particular on Thursday mornings. He has some physical ailments that he has to work through, but I've never heard him complain. Consistently shows up for prayer. We have a Thursday morning prayer, just so you know. Case at about, hi, honey. That's my granddaughter. She's the cutest ever, Emmeline. And she really likes me, I'll tell you that. Yeah. And, Thursday mornings. Yeah, if you wake up at 6:30 and you're like, I just don't have anything to do for the next hour and a half. come over here in the chapel, and we'll be in there. The pastors and directors, we go there, and there's several other people that meet, and we pray every Thursday morning. I lead a little worship, and there's a little word that's shared, and we pray. Yeah. And so anyway, this person I'm talking about, I probably is part of a men's Bible study as well. And no matter what is going on with his life, Lloyd Erb reveals the glory of God, and I see it on a regular basis. And he's a guy that kind of amazes me because he has to work through a lot of things, and he's always there. He's always there to say something positive. He's always there with a little bit of humor. And, you know, we get humor from the Lord, so it's a good thing. I'm so glad for people that are funny. And, yeah. When life goes rough for Lloyd, you'd never know it. He's faithful, wise, and full of grace. And I see the glory of God in and around Lloyd Erb. And last Saturday was the memorial service for Rachel and Chrissy's mom. Rachel, are you out here, Rachel? Oh, you're in the back there. Okay. Yeah, so Rachel's our talented, one of our talented worship leaders, and just does a fantastic job. And last Saturday, it was her mother's memorial, and which none of us look forward to in our lifetime. An extremely difficult day, and especially when it's someone who lived for the Lord and loved her family. And so Rachel was up here, and it was right after dinner and a show. And so some people were talking to me. Somebody said, "Wow, you got to be tired," to me, because I was here late, and when we were at the memorial service the next day, and I go, "Yeah, I am, but I'm good. I'm good to go." And I don't know if this is why Rachel did this or not, but she walks up to me and she goes, and here, the service for her mother is in 30 minutes. And she comes up to me and she goes, "Pastor Roger, can I get you a cup of coffee?" I looked at her like I was, "Who are you?" I go, "No, you don't need to get me a cup of coffee." She says, "I want to." And I said, okay. And she did. And I saw the glory of God right then. Because, you know, in a time of real heartache, although, of course, there's the joy also of her mother being with the Lord. But anyway, it was an awesome thing. And if we open our eyes and look around, we're going to see the glory of God, because we're going to see his attributes and his character in people that are around us. Can you say amen? Yeah. Okay. Living lives of purpose, glorifying God in how they live, giving God honor by living with purpose. That's his purpose. So how does this behavior come about? Some of these people I've talked about, how are they acting like this without doing it on purpose? They're living lives of purpose, but you start living it out without it, without an agenda, except for just to share Christ. But it's because of who you've become. Okay, Jesus tells us very simply in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, familiar portion of scripture. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" this guy asks. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So if you want to be a person that lives with a life of purpose, you need to love God with everything you've got, and you've got to love people. Now, this sounds really simple. It's not so easily carried out, because you have to do this on purpose, okay? Loving God and loving people. And the more we get to know our Creator and the more we love him, the better that we understand who we are. And this is a whole nother subject. In today's world, is people don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. There's a list of, I don't know how many, now it gets more every day, of not just boy and girl. Now, what's it up to? I don't know. 10, 12? It's because people don't know who they are, because you know who you are through Christ. That's how you know who you are. Simple as that. We've got the answer. We need to share it. Amen? Yeah. Okay. Try not to worry about the what. Now, this is what I mean. Some of you may not have a job that you love, okay? I've had jobs I didn't love, several. I've had quite a few jobs in my life. I've never been fired, which is a good thing. But there's just been jobs I didn't care for. But I knew as a believer, I had to live it out. I had to glorify God anyway. So don't worry about the what when it comes to your purpose in life. Because you don't have a job or you're not in the place that you want to be at this very moment, that doesn't mean you're not fulfilling God's purpose for your life, okay? It doesn't mean you're not fulfilling God's purpose. It's just bloom where you're planted, as they say. So you may be getting another job later. You may be in a different situation later. But where you are, glorify God where you are. Can you say amen to that? Yes, right where you are. So don't worry about the what, okay? And when you love, love causes action, because as they also say, love is a verb, and it means action. So to get to these places of love, both for God and for people, it takes purposeful living. So I'm going to give a few commitments that you're going to need to make to glorify God. And they're very simple, and you hear them most weeks here, because they're very, very important as believers in Jesus Christ. Here we go. I'm just going to go through them quickly. The first one is I'm going to be committed to reading the Word of God. Now, that might seem like a really obvious thing, and it is, but it's so easily left behind. Even if you read it just a little bit, try to read the Word of God every day. Now, that might seem like a big commitment, but it's going to make such a difference in your life. If you want to live a life of purpose, you know, if you want your life to really mean something, get into the Word of God. You'd be amazed at how it comes back to you during the day and situations. So every day, and I'm not just going to say for, you know, oh, I'm going to try this like a diet. I'm going to try it for a few months. No, this is for the rest of your life. It's for the rest of your life. Read a little bit of the Word of God every day. You don't have to read chapters and chapters a day. Just a little. And then just kind of think about it and pray over it. And that's the next one. I'm going to be committed to prayer. Now, and when I say that, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, fall on the ground and pray for hours a day. I mean, that's great if you do that. But, hey, just talk to God, just like I'm talking to you. It's just talking to God. And you got troubles. You got troubles, just tell God. Just talk to God. You think, well, he already knows. Yeah, but you need to just talk to him. Just talk to him by yourself. I'm going to be committed to worshiping God on a regular basis. Now, worshiping is a big subject. And worship songs, that's a wonderful way to do it. Just if you're driving down the road, listen to worship music. Also just, you know, worship is the way you live your life. But really, consistently just, and it's as simple as this. Lord, I worship you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory because you're the one that has saved my life. Lord, I don't know where I would be without you. And I just love you today. How long did that take? 10 seconds. Just do it every day. Just talk to the Lord. Worship him, okay? Or you can sing, which is great. Okay, I'm going to be committed to real biblical fellowship. Okay, for some of you, that's really easy, and for some of you, that's kind of hard because we're not all outgoing people. We're not all social people. But in the times that you don't feel like fellowship is probably the time you need to go. And so be committed to being with Christians. Be committed to a time, yes, just have fun. Just have fun. Just have good conversation. But also, sometimes encourage one another. Exhort one another. You might need to be challenged once in a while. You might need to challenge somebody else. But encourage and let's be those brothers and sisters in Christ to each other. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, so one more. I'm going to be committed to lifting my head and looking for the needs of others. This is a big deal. I can remember years ago, I used to walk around with my head down all the time. I still do once in a while because I'm thinking. But at some point, I realized I got to lift my head up and see what's going on around me. I have to see what's happening in other people. You know, I'll just talk about coming to church. You know, if you come to church, this is like easy pickings. If you, there's all kinds of people around you in need. Just kind of look around, lift your head up instead of thinking, oh, I just want to get to my spot. And, you know, it might not be easy for you, but just kind of look around a little bit. If somebody's standing all by themselves looking really lonely, just walk up. Hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. Who are you? And there's a whole other thing I can tell you about. A list of questions you can ask people, because most people, not everybody, like to talk about themselves. So you can ask them about them, you know. So that's just a simple thing. Lifting up your head, looking for the needs of others, and it could go way beyond just saying hello. So commitments to a life that glorifies God, purposeful living. Now, if I can get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. Purposeful living means loving God and loving people. And when you do these two things, whatever that looks like, whatever it looks like, and that can look like all kinds of things, okay? Loving God and loving people, whatever it looks like, you're going to be glorifying God. And the glory of God will follow you because you're going to have His attributes, His character, okay? Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? If you're online, do you believe God has a purpose for your life? Maybe you're in depression. I've struggled with some of that in my life at times, and sometimes you feel like you're drowning and you can't get out, and it's hard to see purpose. It's hard to see hope. Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? A reason for being, a reason to get out of bed in the morning? Where are you right now? Because you can fulfill your purpose right now, wherever you are. And there's a reason for you on this earth, this life that you have, this life that you love. Living a life of purpose begins with loving God with all you are and loving people. Now, we don't want to be what the book of Proverbs calls sluggards. Remember the sluggard? Sluggish. Because if you're a sluggard, you don't take care of things. You are unreliable. You procrastinate. You're just living from day to day with no purpose in your life. And in the end, it's not a good ending for you. But we're not going to think about that too much because we know that you're not going to be that. And if you have been, you're going to want to change your life around. And you can do that. We want to be the wise person, remember that at the beginning, who lives their life with purpose, glorifying God in all we do, always learning, always applying that knowledge for the good of others and themselves, living a life of purpose. All right. like you all to stand up this morning. God sees you right where you are, and he wants you to have purpose because he's laid that all out for you. He's done it all. He's done it all for you to live a good life and to make a difference in somebody else's life. You will find purpose in that as well. And in process, you're going to glorify God. You're going to glorify God. So let's just bow your head right where you are. And if you're a person in this place or you're a person online and you feel like, I really need to find the purpose of my life. I've heard it today, but I want to do that. I want to walk in that purpose of glorifying God. And I feel like I haven't been doing it like I should, but I want to. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand. Okay. So every person in this place is glorifying God, and that's great. So if you are online and you feel like that's you, then commit yourself to the Lord. Love God, love people. Love God, love people, and you're going to find purpose in your life. Okay. We're going to sing a song.
Yeah.